Well, you know, did you know that the enemy is a master at hiding behind circumstances and natural things so that people don't even realize that he's the one causing them trouble? You know, the John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." That's what the NIV says. Now, looking at this, you see two things: what Satan's activities are and what God's activities are. See, Satan's activities, steal, kill, destroy. God's activities, that you have life and have it to the full. You know, the Amplified says it like this: the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, it's one thing to have something till the full, but it's another thing for it to overflow. Hello? And see, I want us to realize that God wants us to live the abundant life. But in order to live the abundant life, you've got to live in your authority. Now, first of all, we got to understand the devil. The first thing you need to understand is that he has nothing good to offer. He has nothing good planned. I mean, it says so right here. In fact, it says the thief. What does a thief break into your house to do? Steal, take stuff, take away your junk, your stuff. Some of the junk I wish they'd take. Anybody in there with me? I need to get rid of it. Isn't it funny how you start to clean out? Oh, I might need that sometime. You went in there with the idea to clean out, and by the time you finish, you've only eliminated very few, very little, and you put all of it back in. I guess we're all laughing with each other because we all done that. The thief comes, and that's Satan. And he has three basic reasons for coming: steal, kill, and destroy. You know, sooner or later, there's no question about it, the enemy is going to come around knocking on your door. I mean, don't waste energy trying to avoid him. He's going to be there. The Bible tells us that. He's especially going to be there if you really get into the Word and start putting the Word out and start trying and start living in line with the Word of God. He's especially going to be there. And the one of the reasons that he's coming around you, especially when you get into Word, he wants to steal the Word from you. Because if he can steal the Word, then he can keep you from enjoying the benefits of the Word. Well, in Mark 4:15, it says, "Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." You ever notice that every time that you listen to a good CD or hear a good message or read the word, and you really say, "Oh man, this is really good. I'm gonna get involved in this. I'm gonna start." And right around the corner, here comes Satan, trying to take the word from you. You know, somebody might come up and say, "Well, now, you know, I'm not so sure that's what that really means." You ever had anybody do that to you? You know, I told one guy one time, I said, "Well, I believe God said what he meant what he said." Amen. And I don't think we have to try to help him interpret his word. You know, I've had before, I've been leading Rhema here for a few years, you know, since 1974, I've been leading Rhema. And I've told some people to, you know, told them some stuff. And then somebody else said, well, now, I don't think he really meant that. This is what I think he meant. And somebody come back and told me that's what was said. And I said, no, I meant what I said. You better go back and tell them they better do what I said do if they know what's good for them. Now, that's when I got on my chief operating officer's hat. Now, I'm a little different when I got my pastor hat on. See, I sit in my office and switch hats. I have to be the CEO of this whole organization worldwide, and that calls for making some hard business decisions sometimes. And then I have to take that hat off and become an instructor and go over and teach in the classroom. And now I have to come under the dean and under my wife, who's over the school. Now I'm not in charge anymore. I'm just an instructor. No, that's the truth. See, if you understand submission and authority, you understand how to operate in these different areas. You know, then I become husband, I become dad, I become poppy, you know. And we all have different hats that we wear at different times. And the way we deal with each one of those situations, if I'm dealing with volunteer help, I deal with it a whole lot different than I deal with somebody that I sign their paycheck. Anybody understand what I'm saying? We all understand that, you know. But so here, we've got to realize that we have to deal with the devil the way he needs to be dealt with. And then you got to slap him down. Come on. Ephesians 4:27 said, don't give him a foothold. You know? You know, I'm playing ball and we're leading in the game, and the coach says to us, all right, just keep your foot on the pedal. Don't let up. Don't give them a chance to even think they can get back in the ball game. Anybody ever heard that in a huddle from a coach? See, you don't want to give the devil even the slightest idea that he got any chance at all. Because he's going to come around. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, I want you to notice it says be self-controlled and alert. You know, I use a lot of sports illustrations because I think they're really good. But if you're going down on a kickoff and you got your lane that you're going down, you have to stay alert all of the time. And you've got to, I don't care if you're running at full blast, you still have to be under control so that you can break down and make a tackle. You know, if you get out of control, you're going to miss it. I like, y'all all know I like racing, and I used, back in 1980, I had a street stock at the old streets, and Lynette let me drive a little bit. She didn't let me drive much, but I drove every chance I got. But when you're in those race cars, especially the stock cars up here in the dirt and the sprint cars, you don't have any mirrors. So you have to be alert, very alert, for things on the side of you. And you have to listen for the motors of those other cars. You got to be alert, because that's how you can stay out of trouble. I mean, if you're down here and somebody's up here, you gotta be alert enough to know that he's there so you don't go up and y'all get in a wreck. Now, I know the regular NASCAR, they got spotters talking to them in their headsets and telling them, and they also got mirrors, but on these cars, you don't. But you know what? I noticed something. After I would drive in races on a Saturday night, drive in some races, as I was driving on the highway or on the street, I noticed that for a few days, I was more alert of what was going on around me. But then I would fall back, depending, looking at those mirrors and looking at, rather than being more alert for what was going on around me. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Do you realize that's what we do? Everything's going along good and seemingly, man, this is good. And you're not as alert. And the devil comes in with something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a few people that have been there. Well, if you hadn't been there yet, you're going to get there. See? Then over in James it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Not the preacher, not the prayer group, you. Amen. You're going to have to realize that you're the one that's going to have to take the authority that belongs to you according to the word of God and tell the devil where to get off. I heard one preacher not very long ago said, tell the devil where to go. I don't know about that one now. I said I heard that from another preacher on the TV. So you can't afford to play around with the enemy. Sometimes people don't grab a hold of it. You got to make up your mind that you and the devil are not on the same team. You know, too many people give the devil a foothold by hanging around the wrong places. There's some places you don't need to hang around. Hello? There's some people you don't need to hang around. See, that's talking about giving the devil a foothold. You're putting yourself in a position or in a place where the enemy is at. He's got control over there. There's no use of walking into that situation. You ought to stay away from it. You know, when you know the devil's crowd is at a certain place, don't go there. Why invite trouble? See, Proverbs 4:14 says, don't set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. Hello? Anybody understanding what I'm saying to you? Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying here? You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and there standeth in the way of the, saith in the way of the sinner, standeth in, you know, that's what Psalms 1 there. You know, we need to take note of all this. Now, the devil has nothing good. He is bad to the bone. He has nothing good. All right? But now Jesus and God, everything they have is good. Amen. See, the first part, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it to the full. Or I want to go back here and read that from the Amplified. I like that Amplified, what it says there. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have and enjoy life. Not just have it, enjoy. And then look on what it says. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Anybody here grow up farming, or your grandpa did, or your parents did, anybody? Everybody really liked it when they got an abundance of crop. Sometimes they call it a bumper crop. Hey? Yeah. Grandpa, I wasn't but 5-6 years old. He grew that cotton down there at Blackland, North Central Texas. They grow good cotton down there. Anybody from the Blackland of North Central Texas? They grow good cotton down there in that Blackland. That's good for cotton. And I'd be up there visiting, you know, staying with him because Daddy's traveling and ministering a lot. And I'd be staying with Grandma and Grandpa. And he'd come in and he'd say, "Savannah, just walking through the field, we're going to get a bumper crop this year." That means it has an abundant supply of cotton. That's good. Especially if that part of the country is having an abundant supply and another part of the country that grows cotton not doing very good, that means your cotton going to be worth a whole lot more a bale. Hello, come on. See, abundant supply, enjoy life, have life, enjoy it, and have an abundance. You know, I pray a lot of times, "Lord, I thank you that as I sow this seed," if I'm giving an offering, I say, "I thank you, I sow this seed, that I will receive an abundant supply in order to take care of all of my needs and have an abundance left over to enjoy life with." I pray that a lot of times. And I don't do it all the time, but a lot of times I'll pray that. And if somebody comes up and hands me an offering sometime, especially for the school, they do that a lot. I always pray that they'll have an abundant supply left over to enjoy life with. Abundance. See, we need to understand that Jesus has come. He's actually making an announcement here. Because he told you about the devil, and he said, "I have come." He's making an announcement that he has come to defeat the thief. That's what he's really trying to tell you. Hey, don't worry about the thief. I've come to destroy him. You get a hold of me, you start living with me, you start working with me, and you're going to find out that Satan can't steal from you. That's what I come for. I come to stop him. I've come to release mankind from being in slavery to the enemy and to live an abundant life that I have planned for them. You know, I like this. He said, "I have come." That doesn't mean he's going to. He already done it. I have. 2,000 years ago, he's already come and defeated Satan. You know, some people always say, "Well, I'm trying to get the victory over the enemy." Why are you trying to get the victory over the enemy for? God's already got it. Jesus already got the victory. You just got to learn how to walk in the authority that you have. See, he defeated Satan when he died on the cross. And I don't know what happened. A lot of people get all tied up with what happened during those 3 days and nights that he was in the grave. I don't know what happened. The Bible really doesn't tell us. The Bible does tell us that when he arose with the keys of death, hell. Death, that meaning what he meant by that spiritual death, not physical death. He arose with the keys. Well, if you take something away from somebody, there's usually some kind of combat involved. Hello? If I go over here and I want to tell William, I'm gonna take your billfold away from you, there's probably going to be some combat involved. Right? I'm not going to because you whipped me. But, you know, somewhere. And it says it all through the word that he already, in fact, it says that he defeated Satan and made a public spectacle of him over there in the word, Paul's writings. So there's no use us trying to get the victory. We already have the victory. The problem is us living in it. See, before you ever knew it, he already had salvation prepared for you. He already had healing prepared for you. He already had deliverance. He already had provision, peace, love, everything you need. He already had it. It's already taken care of. Have you ever been in, you needed something and somebody realized you needed it and said, hey, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And how many of you ever had that happen? Did you go off worrying about it, or did you say, oh, well, it's taken care of, right? You went acting like it's, hey, it's finished, it's taken care of. They're gonna take care of it. That's what God is trying to tell us through Jesus. He's already taken care of it. Just relax and have an abundant life and enjoy life. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this? Now, we stop the devil when we learn to walk in our authority, exercise our authority. You know, it's really a sad commentary to the Christian world that so many Christians that go to church, even though they're born again, many of them filled with the Spirit, they don't understand that the authority that they have to live the good life in. Any of y'all got relatives or friends that they don't understand what they're saved, but they don't understand the good life they could be living? Hello? You know, like the pastor, he went to visit this guy. He'd been in sick for bed for a while. And the pastor just told him, man, come on. You just need to tell the devil, take his sickness and get out of here. You know, trying to urge him. And he looked at the pastor and he said, listen, man. He said, I don't think I'm in any position to antagonize anybody. I think that's the way some Christians are. You know, he'd been sick for a while. He didn't want to antagonize anybody. But see, many people think that whatever happens, God's in control. Well, yes, God is in control in a certain sense of the word, but God is not in control the way people try to make him in control. If he is in control of this world, he's gotten a mess. He's not in control of this world. The Bible plainly tells us, Paul plainly tells us that the devil is the god of this world. Little g. He got it when he took it from Adam in the garden. And I don't have time to get into redemptive realities, but that's where, you know, that's what I'm teaching in the morning. I'm already thinking about it. See, many people become fearful, afraid of what might happen. You don't have to be afraid of what might happen. You know what's going to happen if you know what the word says. Amen. Knowing what this word says. Somebody said, well, you can't ever tell what will happen. Yes, I can. Exactly what this word says. If I believe it and act like it's so, then that's what's going to happen. Yeah, but I don't know about that. Yeah, that's why you're in the position and the mess you're in. See, I want you to notice that he said in Matthew and in the Word of God, he said other places, all authority has been given in me in heaven and earth. And he turned around and he gave that authority to his church. Now, not a local body. See, we've got a bunch of local bodies that make up the church. The ecclesia that it's talked about in theology. The called out ones. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we may be a part of a smaller body called Rhema Bible Church. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And he gave that authority that he had down here to us. And we have to learn to use it. You see, he obtained all the authority. This means that the demonic forces have no authority unless we allow them to have it. Right? Now, I have the authority to go in any building, any office on this entire campus. And I got one key right there. Bill, you got a key? What? Your key will let you in this building and in your office. You got two keys. Now, he has some authority, but he don't have all authority. He's only got authority. Yeah. You got a key, Tony? Get you in SDC 2 and in your office, right? You can't go over and get in the administration building, can you? No, see? But he has authority to get in that building. There's Kim. That's my assistant right there. She has a key, and that'll get her in the administration building. And she has a key to get in our office. But that key, that's all authority. They got a little bit of authority. Now, Lynette has one of these keys. She got all authority. Craig back there, he's got one of these keys. That's all authority. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, Jesus had that authority. And he gave that authority to us. I can say, okay, William, you got authority. You can go in any building you want to go in. Thank you. You was thinking about that. But you see, until he had that key, he don't have all authority. We didn't have all authority. He got the authority. I have got the authority to issue that key to anyone that I deem necessary to issue it to, and they've got all authority in every building. There's not very many of those keys around. I can tell you that right now. Security's got one. But see, that's the same thing. Jesus got that authority. And he said, now, I'm giving it to you. Here's the key. You have authority to walk all over the devil. You have authority to have a good life, an abundant life, and enjoy all of the things that the Word of God says belongs to you. The enemy no longer can control you. No longer can he steal from you. Anytime the enemy comes, you need to immediately say, Mr. Devil, I have the authority. You have no right. You have no privilege. You know, I have been around the campus at different times over the years, and the building might be unlocked for, like the school building is unlocked so the students can go in and out of the doors into the class. I see somebody in, you know, class is over and I'm walking down the hall. I see somebody in there and they don't look like it. I said, what are you doing in here? Oh, I'm just looking around, just want to see what it's like. I said, by whose authority are you in here looking around? Did you check with somebody? Did they tell you you could come in here? No, I just saw the door open, so I thought I'd come in. That's what the devil will do if you're not careful. And you have to take your authority and deal with them. Hello? Anybody can understand what I'm talking about tonight? Anybody get a hold of this tonight? I hope you got a hold of this tonight. You have authority. How many of you are born again? Then you have authority. Hallelujah. You have authority to tell the devil where to get off. You know, we have authority to use the name of Jesus. He tells us that in John 16 there. He says, up to now, telling the disciple, up to now, you hadn't asked anything in my name, but you asked the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. See, that's another part of the authority that's been given to us. See, it's important. If you've never read The Authority of the Believer out there, you need to go get it and read it. My dad, that's a book my dad wrote. Well, many messages he preached, it's all put together into a book. How many of you read The Authority of the Believer? How many realize that you need to reread that ever so often? Hello? If you don't stay up on it, it's like I was talking about a while ago. You start to, you ease off, and the next thing you know, the devil got you in a corner again, and you have to raise up and shake yourself and say, okay, I got to get back in this. Hey, everybody stand. I trust that you got something out of this tonight. You know, we need to understand, and we need to tell the devil, I'm not going to let you steal from me. I'm going to use my God-given authority and take care of you. See, there's a book out there. I wrote a book on Jesus, name above all names. And Dad's got a book out there, the name of Jesus. And actually, my book is, I just took from him and preached the message, and because that book was out of print for a while. And so I decided to do it, and you know, my way. And it's out there. You might want to read that too. Because see, part of your authority that you have is all wrapped up in Jesus. So knowing and understanding the name of Jesus is very important. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you tonight. I tried to stir up these people's pure minds so that they'll realize they have authority in the Word of God to claim what belongs to them. I thank you for it. Father, I pray we all begin to step up in our authority. May we not live below. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, many people are living far below their rights and privileges because they don't understand the authority. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, of course, you have to get in the family before you understand the authority. The ladies are here. The men's over here. As we dismiss, if you'll come here, they'll pray with you. If you need to rededicate your life, you need prayer for any reason, for anything, come to the front right now as we dismiss and they'll pray with you. Connection team, go get those first-time guests and take them to get a special gift that we put together for you. It's really a nice little gift. We are so glad to have you with us tonight. If you're looking for a church home, it's like we say, what? Welcome home. We call ourselves the Rhema family, and we just enjoy living life unlimited with God around here. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Sunday morning right here. 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. If you want to get involved in one of our School of the Bible classes, that's where we break down in smaller groups and you get to know a lot more people. And so come to that. 10 o'clock, the regular service here. All the announcements in the bulletin, read them, find out what they are, and then get involved. All right? Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to live in my authority. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. You want salvation. You want the Holy Spirit. You need prayer for healing. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer for anything, come to the front right now. We'll see you Sunday. God bless.